Let's pray. Father, thanks for your goodness, for your love that you have so lavished upon us. That God, you've invited us to be instruments in this world of the expression of what that love looks like. That God, you are so intentional towards us. And may we be a people of intentional love, that we take your word on board and we begin to live it and action it to your glory. And God, to the restoration and healing of the people of this community and this world, we honor you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen to that. Thanks, Tim. So choose to love. I've got to apologize first up to my wife for heckling you from the front row in the interest of love this evening. But I do reserve the right to do that as your husband. But you can heckle me back. You can try. Choose to love. Hey, can I get your help tonight? You're going to hear the word love a lot tonight, by the way. So brace yourself. But get ready to lean in as well to the scriptures. It really is... love is the narrative of God's word, isn't it? The narrative of the Gospels. It's the style that we see in the way Jesus lives and God's heart towards us. And we're going to walk through some of the scriptures. We're going to look at the life of Jesus, the words of Paul in Corinthians, which is just the most incredible view of love, what it looks like, sounds like, feels like. At the start, I want to get your help tonight with this. Is that okay? Can you help me paint? You don't have to leave your seat to do it, but I do need your help to get this thing happening. So what I want you to do is think of someone who loves you. All right? I'm going to assume there's a lot of love in the room tonight. They say you should never assume, but I'm doing it. I'm out there. Think of someone who loves you. I'll give you a second. Hopefully there's a face that comes to mind. You can see some big smiles over there. A lot of love over this side of the room, boys. All right, now take it a step further. And I want you to think of what it is that makes you know, what specific action or what it is that person does that makes you know that you're loved. All right? So we're not just talking about romantic love. This is much, much wider than that. That's a narrow view of love. Could be a brother, sister, family member, parent, a good friend. What is it specifically that makes you know that you're loved? That thing that they do. Have you got something? Can you think of something? Yep, show of hands if you manage to picture a face. Yeah, most of us, I would hope, could think of something. Great. That means I can get lots of help tonight to do this. All right, so what are some of those things? All right, someone hit me with something here. I'm going to start without you. Specific action. It makes you feel love. When you thought of that face, something someone did, yeah, just yell it out. Cup of tea, yes, absolutely. Yep. Good. Okay, someone else? Keep them coming. Hugs, yeah, we had that this morning. That was one of my favorites from this morning. Hugs are so good. Okay, anyone else? Smile, good, yeah. So like some of these actions, like are just quick interactions, aren't they? It can just be sort of like a passing by. What else? Pardon? Yeah, someone caring. All right, heaps of different ways that someone could care for you. All right, Dan needed some extra care this week. He was without. Someone loaned Dan a car. Oh, man. Lauren, I'm sorry. My wife's an art teacher, can you tell? All right, couple more. Does the washing up. Oh, yes, I do. That's how I like to do things at home. I like to wash up. Yeah, cooking, nice meals. That's a potato. So some of these... like, all of these... And then that's got to go on there, and we can come back to that later. It was a messier version tonight. But without any of those actions, nothing ends up on the canvas. And that's a follow-on from if you heard Tim share last week that... Thanks, man. Tissues. It's this idea that love is something that we enact. Like no one put their hand up or yelled out, yeah, I feel love because someone's going to buy me a bowl of soup tonight. Now that's hope. It's different, isn't it? Or faith, like believing that someone in the room, trusting that they might see you, they might invest their time in you, their money in you. And that's one small example. And Paul, painting's hard work, talks about faith, hope, and love. It's in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He says, there's three things that endure, three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. Love draws us in. There's something so attractive about love. The different strokes, the different moments, whether it's a smile, a cup of tea, whether it's a longer journey, whether it's someone's loaned you a car, whether someone's staying with you, whether it's long relationship. There's something attractive about it. There's a beauty to it. There's 100 different expressions for it. 1,000 different expressions across 1,000 different days. It never loses its shine. I've got 3 daughters, and when I've expressed love to them, and there's lots of different ways that I get to do that with my girls, they've never once just said, oh, not love again, Dad. No, they always just run into it. It's always attractive, and it's always good. And so the more paint on the canvas, the better, yeah? The more paint on the canvas, the better. Love is a doing word. Love is a verb, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. It's something we've got to do, that we've got to choose to live out. Come with me now to Matthew. We're going to enter into this moment here with Jesus, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And I just have reference here behind me. So grab your Bible, grab your phone, and let's walk through some of these scriptures. There's this moment where Jesus is caught up in this discussion. It's been a long day for Jesus already at this point. There's these leaders of these religious sects, Pharisees and Sadducees they were called, masters in the law. They've already challenged him on what it means to pay tax, tried to stumble him up on that, on the resurrection, and then comes to this moment at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. All right, I find that interesting. They've watched Jesus silence this other group of guys. Then they've had their huddle. How can we trip Jesus up? How can we disprove Jesus, strip him of his power? So the Pharisees got together. And in verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? In verse 37, Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. Now that question, to summarize the law, as I read through this, you see that Jesus speaks to it. The Son of God speaks to it instantly, because to summarize the law, the Mosaic law was made up of over 600 different laws. And I thought, this'll slow him down, but he speaks to it and he says, it's love. I'll summarize it. Love God with everything that you have. And the second, which is just like it, love others as you love yourself. Why is it just like it? Because of love. Love God and love others. I want to ask you, before we go too much further, do you know God's love for you tonight? It's this verse in 1 John 4, verse 10 that reads like this. This is real love. You know, I think we live in a world that cries out for real love. I don't know what your experience of love has been. What family environment you grew up in, what relationships you've had, what relationships you're in. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Not that we loved Him first, but He chose to love us when we're opposed to Him. This is real love. It's this kind of love that invites us in. We look at it and we run to it and we've got to say, man, that's good. It's God's love for us tonight. And we deliberately started this series with Choose to Love because if we can't catch a hold of this, and maybe you'll grab a hold of God's love for you for the first time tonight. Maybe you've known it and walked in it. But if we'll abide in that, know that the strokes of God's love on the canvas of our life, the beauty of it, the goodness, the creativity, the different ways as we read the scriptures, and they become foundational, or as Jesus put it, all of the other things we believe for and hope for hang from that love. Choosing to forgive, choosing to believe the best, choosing to encourage, choosing to include, to serve, and to be generous. It's going to be an incredible journey. It starts in love, it's founded in love. Years and years later, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. We've come out of Acts and Tim has given us this great overarching look at where we're going in the scriptures and the beginning of the church, which I'd encourage you to go back and catch in our podcast. But the church really has started to explode now and is growing rapidly, and Paul's writing these letters and they make up a good end of the back end of the Bible, and he's writing to the church in Corinth. And as he writes here, he's emphasizing again the importance of love. It's this church that started to build this hierarchy of importance out of gifts and work in the church. The roles, whether it's wisdom, whether it's knowledge, and they're starting to sort of, what Paul can see is to separate and to faction, and he speaks into this, and it's in verse 27 of chapter 12, and we'll start there, and we're going to work our way through the scriptures here in the next few moments. But he uses this illustration of a body. He says, those things are good, wisdom or knowledge, understanding, prophecy, speaking, interpreting, tongues. He never calls any of them bad, but he never calls any of them more important. In fact, he says, no, they're all for the benefit of one another. They're all for the good of the church, for edifying the body of Christ. The eye can't work without the leg. The arm can't work without the torso. He's naming these different parts and calling them back to unity. And in verse 27 of chapter 12, he says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. And God's placed in the church, first of all, apostles, and second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. But are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues? He's naming these different roles, these different gifts, do all interpret. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. He said, that's good, desire to have those gifts. But it closes with this. His closing statement in that chapter is this, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." All that stuff's good. Be unified, edify one another, work as the body of Christ, but wait. I'll show you the most excellent way, which is the lead-in to 1 Corinthians 13. And please read with me as we go through this scripture. It's just entitled, "Love is the Greatest." Someone held up a sign that said the most excellent way. You'd want to go there, wouldn't you? I would. The most excellent way. The way of ways, it's called in other interpretations. He says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing." Verse 3, "If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." He said, it's not as much about that extension of your hand, the gifts, the abilities, the things that God has given you. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit gives gifts to us in different measure. He says, this is the most excellent way. It's got to be that extension of the heart, not just the hand, is to love. If we don't love one another, it's worthless. And in this next passage of Scripture, can I invite you tonight, maybe you've heard it, if you've been to a wedding, usually you've heard it. If you've been to church more than a couple times, maybe you've heard it, but maybe you've never heard this passage of Scripture before. It's God's description of love. I want to invite you to lean into it as I read tonight, to ask yourself, where can I do better? Who and where and how can I express love and express these virtues to others? None of us are perfect. None of us get top marks in all of them. But we can allow God's word to speak to us tonight. And it reads like this: love is patient and kind. Love's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Is there someone that you need to not give up on in your life at the moment? Someone need to know that you still believe in them, that you're still there for them. You've fallen into jealousy, pride, you've boasted. You've been too busy and just ended up being rude. You're patient. Are you kind? It's this measure of the actions, of the doing, of what love looks like. And these were just such great illustrations of these virtues. Verse 8, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is the trademark of those who follow Jesus. It's the trademark of those who long to follow in his footsteps, though we'll try, though we fail. There's no secret handshake. If you wondered why you didn't get one on the way in tonight, it's because it doesn't exist. No mysterious symbol, there's no secret code. Just love, the love of a God who, in the book of John, says, so loved the world that he gave. So loved that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, wouldn't suffer for their sins, but would have everlasting life. John 13:35 says this, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, my followers, if you love one another. And I love this message version of 1 John 4:19 to 21. I don't have all of these, but just listen to this. We, though, are going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. Do you count how many times we got love in that first line? We know his love and then love out of knowing what that looks like. I was so proud of my daughter this last week gone. I'd brought home just a big pocket full of chocolate when I'd come home from work on whatever night it was. It was all cracked and half melted. I was on my motorbike, but I got it home. And I sit them down on the couch and say, close your eyes, hold your hands out. And I put this chocolate in their hand. They're like, oh, they're stoked. And they can have one bit before bed. And then they all stash the rest of it around the house so that their sisters can't steal it. And one of my friends comes into work this week and he gets given this piece of chocolate, and it's wrapped up like in some baking paper or something. And it was from my daughter. And I thought, man, I was so proud of her in that moment. And as I thought about tonight, I thought if I'd never given her that chocolate bar, she'd never have had any chocolate to give away. And when we know what love looks like, what it feels like, and what it tastes like, we then in turn get the joy of being able to rewrap it, to find someone and just be like, I care about you. I see you. First we were loved, now we love. 20 to 21, this same passage, we're in John 1, 1 John 4. If anyone boasts, I love God, listen to this, this is the word of God tonight. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Measure yourself against that for a second. Loving God includes loving people, and the more paint on the canvas, the better. So I want to ask you tonight, how's your canvas looking? Do you allow people into your life to love you? Is it something that you struggle with? And I understand that that can be a real struggle and almost a fear depending on what your experience has been. I wonder, would you allow God to tonight in his word, if you've heard scriptures and you've thought, man, I never knew that God loved me like that, that he would give, that he'd give his only son for me. I never knew that. You know, I grew up as a Catholic. I went to church with my nana and my mum for the whole first part of my life. When I heard that, that changed everything. When God became personal in the person of Jesus Christ, and I could take a hold of God's love, it made God tangible to me when I heard the gospel, when I sat at the kitchen table with some friends, and my life has been different ever since. Now, I wonder if you need to just hear that tonight, that you're loved, and that you're known. How's your brush? Is it battered? Is it missing a few bristles? Do you use it a lot? Does it get messy? How are you going with loving others, acting it out? Good intentions are nice, but they never really ever helped anyone that much. Read the story of the Good Samaritan. He crossed the street when the others didn't. Jesus, who sits at a well, Jesus, who kneels down next to a prostitute, defends her, loves her. Story upon story of the acting and the doing and the painting. How's your brush? How's that canvas of yours tonight? There comes a time when you've read the manuals, you've walked all the galleries, you've seen the finest art, you've watched masters paint. Comes a time where you've just got to pick up the brush and you've got to start painting. And you might think, man, I can never paint like the master. I could never love like it's put out and displayed in 1 Corinthians. I could never do that. You could. You can. If you welcome God, if you'll know his expression of love and just be willing to pick up the brush to look for opportunities. My wife's an art teacher, as I said before. She tells me she's never met a student they couldn't teach to paint, no matter how bad they thought they were when they came in. It's coming with that willingness to start somewhere. God's not looking for some incredible masterpiece, but to pick up the brush and to start. And what a privilege it is to add color. And we're using this grayscale image. And again, this is the image that Tim started with last week. And in each of these topics, each of these choices, week by week, we're going to add color to them. And so we're going to put just that splash of red through this image this week and use this illustration in the red so that it might stick with us as a reminder to take up the brush and to paint and to choose to love. The more paint, the better. Where those gaps might represent indifference, a choice you could have made and chose to walk in the other direction. Hey, everyone in this room has made choices like that. I'm going to close with a song. Tonight as I wrap up, and I want to use it, myself included, as an opportunity to think through what's been shared tonight. Love is this huge topic in the Bible, and I hope that somehow I've made it easy tonight. I feel like that's what Jesus spent his life trying to do, his life on this earth, is to simplify the things that we had made so complicated. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, your strength, and to love others as much as you love yourself. God's word inquire of you tonight as we sing. And Lord, by your Spirit, if you've been hurt in a relationship tonight, come to Jesus. If you've been sold a crap version of love, come to Jesus tonight. This is real love, not that we first loved God, but that He loved us, that He saw us in our state. He sees our fear, sees us in our pride, sees us in our weakened state where we've tried to find love but feel like we've just failed multiple times. If that's God's Spirit speaking to you tonight, respond to the love of Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As we sing, if you want someone to pray with you, if you want to accept that love of God through Jesus Christ, be bold. Come down here and we can pray with you. If you've been burned, if you've just found love a trial, ask someone to pray with you. Maybe you got friends with you tonight. Let's use this space to allow God's Spirit to speak to us and to move in us. I told you you'd hear the word love a lot tonight. I want to just share a picture with you as you leave, and just the imagery of it. This is a painting from my eldest daughter. That's about 8 years old now. She was 3 when she did it. It's been in my office ever since. And I love it. My girls still bring me pictures. And my youngest daughter, even now, she'll walk up to me and she'll be like, "Dad, I did a picture for you," and I'll pick it up and I'll look at it, and the sparkles and the swirls, and there's leaves glued on it, all different things going on. I'm like, "Darling, I love the color in that. I love what you've done. It's amazing. What is it?" I always got to ask that question. "What is it?" "Oh, Dad, it's us playing. It's us doing this or whatever." And you know, I've never in any of those moments told them to go away and to try again, because I couldn't tell what it was. Never said, "Darling, you can do better than that," because I know that deep down it's something much, much more, represents so much more. It's a love for a daddy on a canvas. And I have, we have a lot of these. We can't keep all of them, because we encourage our girls to paint, to create, to bring beauty into the world. But that imagery of that is that reminder. You don't have to get it perfect every time. It's a thing of beauty when we bring it in that spirit of love and say, "Look what I did." And I think this is what the world needs of the church. Not to be the people who get it right all the time, the ones who are perfect, or at least pretending they are, but just the ones who are picking up the brush and doing their best to love the way Jesus did. So be encouraged by that tonight. Take the imagery of this, that action of love. Be reminded that it's that action, that deed, that expression that God's enabled us to share out of His great love for us. Find someone to love, have some soup with, maybe buy some soup for, in case they are really hoping that will happen. It's an opportunity. Someone looks extra hungry, keep an eye out for them. But be blessed. Have a really great week. And we look forward to continuing this journey and choices next week. I hope you'll join us. Thanks, guys.